So let us pray. Tender, loving God, God of strength, kindness, and compassion, let us today come to you in confidence through your Son, Jesus Christ, and what he did for us, asking you to bring us into new life by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord God, breathe on us again that we may live to glorify your name. And let us hear your word anew today in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, in chapter 6, which is what we've just read part of in the Gospel reading of John, most of it is all about bread. Jesus feeds the multitude. We had that talk last week with bread and a few fishes, and there were plenty left over, wasn't there? 12 baskets, to be in fact. Followed by a mysterious walking, the mysterious walking on water to the disciples in a boat during a heavy storm. And now, the story we had today of Jesus, the story of bread from heaven and him being the bread of life. Now, this is one way John, the gospel writer, wrestles with the profound question of Jesus' identity and what it means to have faith in him. So, what did Jesus mean by when he said, "I am the bread of life"? The answer is, part of the answer is, "I am the bread of life" is in the first 7 I am statements. Now, if you read through John, he will keep saying, "I am," which is quite prevalent because the crowd would have noticed this saying, because that's what God said to Moses in the burning bush, when at the burning bush. He said, "I am who I am. Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you." So it's quite very poignant for the crowd. And the other 6, this is the first one, if you want to know, is the light. "I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life." And the last one, "I am the true vine." All pointing in metaphors and pictures to Jesus' identity for the people that John was writing to and for us today. These 7 declarations are about himself. And in all 7, he equates himself with tremendous pictures, metaphors, which express the saving relationship towards us and the world. Yes, they all appear in John's Gospel. It's all there. Now, I've been told that you are up for this type of interaction. We've already had some already, haven't we? But where I usually preach and speak, not allowed to do this. I'm not allowed to let the congregation get too involved for certain reasons. For those of you who don't know, I do take services and preach in High Point Prison. And this is the warning we actually give the prisoners right at the beginning is, if you need to go to the loo, will you go now? And during the service, there will be no speaking, which I find difficult in myself when I say those words. Because I know I would speak through a service. But there you go. So, what I want us to do in a moment, after I've sort of paraphrased today's gospel, I would like you to think about your role within the crowd. Remembering you know nothing about Jesus. I know that's going to be hard, but you know nothing about Jesus. You just see this man in front of you and what he's saying to him. So, let me begin. Jesus and his disciples crossed back to the other side of Galilee and were a bit windswept when the crowd sees that Jesus has left. So they decide to follow him in whatever transport they could get. Now Jesus takes this moment when they meet up to teach them a lesson. He accuses the crowd of ignoring his miraculous signs and only following him for a free meal. So Jesus tells them, don't bother for the food that goes rotten or perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. In other words, they were so taken up with the food, they were missing out on the fact that their Messiah was standing right in front of them. So the crowd ask for a sign, as you would do to a good prophet. You ask for a sign of what they were saying. And it was proof that God had sent them. So, as if the miraculous feeding of the 5,000 wasn't enough. Then they have the cheat to tell him that their father ate the manna in the desert. And God had given it to them. Now Jesus responds by telling them that they need to ask for the true bread from heaven that gives life. So when they asked for the bread, wanting more of this bread, Jesus startles them by saying, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never, never thirst. Now that last statement, what a phenomenal statement. So, as members of the crowd, how has that left you? What questions do you want to ask Jesus? So, with your neighbours, just have a little chat about those things. If you're up for that, that'd be great. No? It's a hard one, isn't it? Yeah, of actually not knowing Christ. To actually... Ladies and gentlemen, sorry to cut you off. Did you find that difficult? You did, didn't you? Yeah, I knew this church would. I knew this church would find it difficult to pretend you don't know Jesus. But it's just the thinking of what was happening during those times. This crowd didn't know. They just saw this person in front of him. Yes, he had done the miraculous things. He'd done wonderful healings. Some of those people may not have even seen any of those things. They were seeing Jesus for the first time afresh, weren't they? And they wanted to hear him. They wanted him to teach them, because he was, as far as they were concerned, their rabbi. And going about the place, talking about life, and especially spiritual life, and what that really meant for each one of us, even what that means for us. Anyway, I'm going to go back to my script, otherwise I'll just keep going on and on and on. Now, by equating himself with bread, Jesus is saying he is essential for life. Because as I said at the beginning, bread, and you can actually live on bread and water alone. So he's essential for life. And this life Jesus is referring to is, as I've already said, not a physical life, but eternal life. What he is contrasting here is the difference of the physical bread, as we know, that perishes, that was miraculously created at the feeding of the multitude, against the spiritual bread that brings eternal life. That spiritual bread that brings eternal life. Amen to that. So here in this story, in John's Gospel, the crowd, the people that wanted to hear more of Jesus, had to say, they searched him out. They searched him out, sailing to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Now that's persistence, isn't it? They wanted to know more. They seemed to be interested in what Jesus had to say and has to say, as we know today. He's still talking to us. And let's be honest, sometimes when Jesus does speak, it can confuse and compound not only the crowds, but even those of us today, even when we still read the Bible. But still the crowd, in verse 34, asked, Lord, give us this bread always. They wanted this bread. I don't think they fully understood what that really meant, because, and then here's the whammy. Jesus is saying, he is the bread of life. So just like the story in John's Gospel of Nicodemus, who could not get his head around being born again, the crowd couldn't comprehend what Jesus was saying here. I am the bread of life. We have it. So privileged in a way that we have our Holy Bible. Because as I pointed out, you didn't like being not knowing Jesus just for the sake of saying things. Knowing Jesus makes a massive difference, doesn't it? It does. But it's still quite hard for us to even get our heads around God's and Jesus' saving grace of what took place on the crucifix, on the cross. So, how do we as church community, as Paul in his letter is portraying to the Ephesians, can we portray God's love for his people? I find myself personally the hardest thing is, for instance, when we're doing the walk of witness in the town or anywhere. In Bury St Edmunds, I used to do it quite a lot. In Bury St Edmunds when we lived there. those that were blinkered, totally blinkered, just didn't want to know. They were going about their business and they just walked straight past you. But I could connect with the people that were maybe yelling out abuse or anything like that, because that was a response. And there was more people doing that than just walking past with blinkers on. So there's an opportunity there. But how do we feed this opportunity? How do we do it? By being ourselves, mainly. By being ourselves as true, loving Christians. Little story. Yesterday I had a t-shirt on, and on the front of this t-shirt it said, "Keep psalm and carry on." That's what it said. Keep psalm and carry on. Nice blue t-shirt. I like the t-shirt. I've got a couple of t-shirts like that. And I was in Iceland with Trish, my wife, and one of the attendants said, I thought he said, "What psalm?" So I said, "Could be any psalm. Psalm 139, Psalm 23. But he looked a bit sort of perplexed, and he went, no. What does it mean? Opportunity. There was an opportunity to tell him what it was all about and where the psalms are in the Bible. So these opportunities do come about from those that respond to us. And I'm sure you're all well equipped to do that. I've seen it in action with you. And it's a blessing and a gift, as we've been praying for. So, here we are. As a church community, I've nearly finished now, which God has called us on a journey with Him, with Jesus. And that He equips us in every way we need. So as the free slaves wandering in the desert, their need of food, the manna was provided. The fowl, the birds were provided as well. And then we have the tentative followers of Jesus asking for bread, needing the teaching and the gathering. And here we have the needy in the streets of Haverhill. And Paul points out to the Ephesians many things. So, a little bit of homework. When you go home, have another look at what Paul says to the Ephesians. Yes, they probably tasted the bread of life, most of them. But it was actually the church community, the hope that he was giving them to take things further. But you all do that in your own ways, in your own communities, with your own neighbours. I see you come away from your houses around about 10 o'clock just to get here by 10:30. Check some of those that were a little bit late. But people do see that. People do see that. I know my neighbours have and asked. And I've told them. But it's just being tiny witnesses that can move mountains. And you can lead on to talking about these spiritual things, these deep things that most people out there generally ignore, but we are, because God has made us in his image, spiritual beings as well. We are always thinking about these things. So it's tapping into that. Tapping into that. Easier said than done. But it's the little things, as I said, maybe a lapel cross or something like that, or a brooch or something like that. Does lead to conversations. It's happened to me many times. Many times. So bless you all. And thank you for listening. I know it's hot. But God bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen.